Today is the fifth Sunday after Easter, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And this evening we will resume the devotion of benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, and that will be at 6 p.m. this evening. Tomorrow, Monday, the Mass is at 8:30 a.m. as usual, and there's the cleaning of the chapel and the hall afterwards. This week, this Thursday, is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, and that is one of the most important feasts in the year, liturgical year, and it is a holy day of obligation. So that means that all Catholics are seriously bound to assist at Mass if possible on that day. So there will be a high Mass this Thursday at 9 a.m. and then low Mass at 7 p.m. So it's Thursday, May 30th, Holy Day of Obligation. And this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. So if you want to continue your devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to go to Mass that day, Mass is at 8:30. And those of you who would like to volunteer in the mowing of the south and east areas of the landscape may come next Saturday after Mass. That's June 1st, this Saturday. So if you've, those of you who've done in the past, you're familiar with it, but you can see one of the priests if you've never done that before and you want information. Actually, just see me. They'll make it easier. Now, this Friday, the Novena to the Holy Ghost starts in our community. It's the 9 days after the Feast of the Ascension. So it is a practice that we've been doing since the founding of our community to imitate what the apostles did after our Lord ascended into heaven. They were praying alone, waiting for really something to happen, but they were very much afraid. And they were sad because our Lord was no longer with them physically, and they felt alone, but they were praying with the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that was in preparation for the Feast of Pentecost. They didn't know it at the time, but their prayers were instrumental in bringing the Holy Ghost to them. And so we recite or we chant the Veni Creator, so you may recite it with us beginning Friday up until the Saturday before Pentecost Sunday. So we've once again reached the breaking point in our lost and found. That means just go there and see what belongs to you, because there are a lot of lost items and some unusual things we find in the pews. I won't say any more about that, but we just put them there. So also if you have any dishes or things like that, you can pick them up in the black cabinet on the left side in the classroom. The feasts of this week, today is the feast of St. Philip Neri. Tomorrow, St. Bede the Venerable. Tuesday, St. Augustine, or Augustine of Canterbury. He's the great apostle to England, brought the faith to England. Wednesday, not only the Vigil of the Ascension, but the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. Thursday, as you know, is the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord, but also St. Felix the First, and also St. Joan of Arc, one of the patronesses of France. On June 1st is the Feast of St. Angela Marici. And then we want to mention tomorrow, secular holiday of Memorial Day. And it's really come, we realize that basically from Friday morning till Monday night, don't try to do business with the business world, because everybody needs time off, and so we respect that. It's not just a Monday holiday anymore. So that day in this country, it's mostly regarded as the first day of the vacation season. But for those who are a little deeper, they remember that it is the day this country honors those who have died in service to defend our country, all the fallen soldiers who we all owe, whether they are Catholic or not, we owe our gratitude because they have defended our country here on this soil and in virtually all the countries around the world. Whether the war was just or not, we won't comment on that. In fact, most wars really aren't just according to the principles of the church. But the soldiers, that's their job, that's their duty. They've signed up for it. And this day started as Armistice Day, connected to that, and also called Decoration Day after the Civil War. The history of it goes back and is connected with Veterans Day and all these days that honor soldiers. But this one really goes back really to the Revolutionary War, that we pay respect to the fallen men and women who have died for our country. And maybe most of them are forgotten, but this is the day, Memorial Day, for Catholics such as we are, to come to Mass. It's sort of like a secular All Souls Day, but to pray for the soldiers and pray especially for any relatives that you have that may have died in service for our country. Now, I did not forget Friday, May 31st. That is one of the most important feast days of the year, because it is the feast of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And there's a Mass this Friday at 7:30 a.m., the usual time. And we encourage you, if possible, to come to Mass that day. Now, this whole month is dedicated to Our Lady, to her queenship. But this feast was just instituted maybe about 60, 70 years ago by Pope Pius XII, to have a special day honoring Our Lady and her prerogative as being Queen of heaven and earth, Queen of the universe. So we want to explain that for a moment. That's why we have this vestment at this Mass today, because a lot of you are unable to come to the Mass this week, and we feel that this month is dedicated to her, so we should speak about her. She is Queen of heaven and earth, because her Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is King of heaven and earth. So she's the mother of the King, the Queen Mother. But not only because of her position and her great dignity of being the Mother of God, but also of her role as co-redemptrix of the human race. Now, for us, in the way English is, it's when we use the word co, it usually means two people or more, but usually two that all both have the same authority or function. But that's not always the definition, and in this case, it isn't. It means her life, but especially her actions, her prayers, her sufferings on Mount Calvary, when her son was dying on the cross, what she went through was redemptive. Because as the mother of the Redeemer, her works, her prayers, everything she does has value, but especially because she was born without sin, conceived without sin, no stain, because God did not want to have even the slightest effect of Satan, of evil, on his mother. So when she was on earth, her works were of far more value than any other person's. And in fact, they're more valuable. This is what the saints teach us, especially St. Alphonsus. Her works have more value than all the great works of all the saints in heaven and all the good works of all of us and every person who's ever lived and all the angels all put together. She is more perfect and her works are more valuable, her prayers are more valuable than all the rest of us put together because she's the mother of God. And therefore she's a queen of heaven and earth. And she, in a subordinate manner, redeemed us as co-redemptrix. It was not needed because our Lord dying on the cross had infinite value. His passion and death, especially his death, had infinite value. So you may think, well, why even bring up the Blessed Virgin Mary? It's not needed. Because as the scripture says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the works of his saints. And all the more so, the works of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that's why she is queen, but also one of her other titles as mediatrix of all graces. I don't know if we appreciate how important that is, but it means that every grace that comes from the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit is called the giver of grace, but it comes from all three. Graces come from all three persons, one God and three divine persons. But this work of giving grace is from God, the Holy Ghost. Every grace that comes from the Holy Spirit comes through the intercession, through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, why is that? Again, because it's not necessary, but God wanted us to have a mother. He wanted us to have a mediatrix. That's the feminine form in Latin, mediatrix, of the word mediator in Latin, the feminine form mediatrix. He wanted it because he wanted us to have someone that we can relate to, a mother who will take care of us, who will watch over us in every need, in the greatest difficulty. I'm sure you have your stories, we have ours, of being in danger, especially danger of death, in extreme cases. And I'm not talking only about sickness or illness. I'm talking about physical danger. I personally was on a hiking trip once on a side of the mountain at night, and I was almost ready to fall off the cliff. And I was praying, and all of us on that trip were praying to Hail Marys to protect us. It was indescribable fear. And then when our Father Superior and Father Simons and I, we were seminarians at the time, and we were going on a pilgrimage to the Shrine of Our Lady of La Salette in the French Alps. And as we're driving up, and we've mentioned the story, but it's worth hearing it again. It was raining at the lower elevation, but then it changed to snow, and then it was sticking, and then it turned to slush, and then it was, as we went higher and higher, we were losing control of the car. And very steep mountains. Not just a hill, but you go, no guardrail. You go off and that's like a couple thousand feet down. And so Father said, stop the car, we cannot continue. So Father Simons was driving and he tried to turn around and that made the car slide right near the edge of the cliff. And we were praying. And by the grace of God, by the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our guardian angels, I don't know how this happened because we're driving up and there's very little space to turn around. Father Simons was at the car at the wheel and Father said, okay, we're going to have to push the car around to get out. So we got out and pushed with the cliff just a few feet away. And I was trying to push it and the car was going opposite the way I was pushing. I don't know how to explain that, but it just was very unusual. And I'm pushing, but it's just not going the way I thought it should go and to get the car in the right position. And then when it was after like 1 minute, we looked and we were perfectly positioned going down. So we could go back down because we couldn't reach the shrine. And all of us were astounded because Father Simon says, I wasn't even driving. I just was sitting in the car. I don't know how it happened. But none of us knew how it happened. So maybe it was a little miracle. I don't know. But four of us, another person was on the trip, were all astounded and we're just glad to be able to go back down. And maybe someday I'll have the privilege of getting to the shrine in the summer instead of February. But she, the Blessed Virgin Mary, has her arms outstretched here. That means she's the dispenser of graces, and that means not in a childish, figurative way, but in every aspect of your lives, whether you are 95 or 5, you call upon her as your queen and mother to assist you, and she will help you. And pray your rosary, offer devotions to her, and if possible, assist at Mass this Friday at 7:30 a.m. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Epistle of St. James. Beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and presently he forgets what kind of man he is. But he who has looked carefully into the perfect law of liberty and has remained in it, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, shall be blessed in his deed. And if anyone thinks himself to be religious, not restraining his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Religion pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to give aid to orphans and widows in their tribulations, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 23 to 30. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in parables. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in parables, but will speak to you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and utterest no parable. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and dost not need that anyone should question thee. For this reason, we believe that thou camest forth from God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before we speak about the Epistle and Gospel, we have some instructions. One instruction and one devotion to remind you about. And the first is about Holy Communion. And we just want to remind everyone, especially people who have been coming here as long, that the communion, coming to the communion rail, is for those who are able to receive Holy Communion. So that means if mothers or fathers or guardians or caretakers of children who cannot receive, they are not to bring the children to the communion rail. The exception is if the infant or child is being carried by the person. So just to remind you about that. The other is something that we've been noticing, a little bit of abuse, or we could say forgetfulness, why don't we put it that way, about how to receive the Holy Eucharist. It really shows when we get people who are from other parishes or have forgotten their training and they don't know how to receive. We might remind you, you just put your head back, tilt your head back slightly, not far back, but slightly. You open your mouth moderately and you put out your tongue moderately. And that makes it so much easier for the priest to give you the Blessed Sacrament. When that's not done, what happens is the priest is in danger of dropping the host because there's no tongue to put it on. Or the host hits the person's teeth. So we just want to remind you, especially sometimes the children forget, but the adults forget also. So again, you can practice in the mirror if you're not sure about it. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But again, you tilt your head back a little bit and open your mouth and put your tongue moderately, and you're all set to receive with devotion. Sometimes people coming from the parishes, they try to say amen, and then we're putting the host and they're trying to say amen. No, that's an abuse. People don't say anything when receiving the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You just are silent. So that's the reminder about receiving communion. But the other is a reminder, and I'm somewhat disappointed because I mentioned this about a year ago, but now's the time to mention it once again. Now you see this beautiful Paschal candle lit here. It's a reminder of the physical presence of Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. It's a connection to our Lord the 40 days after Easter, after he rose from the dead and while he was with the apostles and the disciples, visiting them, comforting them, teaching them, upbraiding them. He sometimes got stern with the apostles for their lack of faith. Well, you see all these votive candle stands. There are six of them in our chapel here. And each one has 15 candles, so that's 90 candles that are available. That's like one candle for each of you. But do you see here? It's the month of May and there are hardly any candles lit in front of Our Lady. That's the Catholic practice of lighting candles to represent yourself in the church when you leave. Because it is a connection to this candle. This candle will be soon extinguished and put away on Ascension Thursday. One of the aspirants, one of the young men that want to be a seminarian here, was asking about what we do with the old Paschal candles. Well, we save them. We have over 40 or 50 Paschal candles because they can actually be reused for another year in case there was a persecution or circumstances we couldn't get a new one, because we just put new numbers on and it can be reused at the Easter Vigil. But they also are a great protection against terrible storms and dangers from the outside that would affect this community or the sisters. So the sisters every so often ask for one of the old Paschal candles, and when we go on a trip or in certain other circumstances, they light it. And it's lit the whole time while we are away to protect us. The reason I say that is because that is exactly what these candles are. When you light these candles in honor of our Lord and the Sacred Heart, Blessed Virgin Mary here and in the shrine, and then St. Joseph. I did notice on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker that week, all these candles were lit. I thought, oh, that's good. But what about Our Lady? What about our Lord? You can light as many or as few as you want, but I really, and we really want to encourage you to make it a constant practice. You can light one once a month. Some people right here sitting among you have candles lit 24 hours a day. Either these candles or the ones here, they have them lit because they give a donation once a month or once a year, and that's to have a candle lit. It's sort of like an extension of the sanctuary lamp. Because that candle represents Christ, just like this Paschal candle. The wax represents his sacred flesh, his humanity. The wick represents his human soul, concealed by the wax, by his body. And then the flame represents his divinity. That's St. Anselm. That's what he said 1,500 years ago. So we encourage you to make that the practice. To make it something that so you are connected not only to these saints and these images and these devotions, but you're tied to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. You see it in movies. They've been doing that for decades. Someone's in danger or they're troubled, and they go to a Catholic church. They never go in the movies, even the way they portray movies. They always go to a Catholic church and they light a candle. So if Hollywood is doing it, and they don't even know what it means, but it means someone's praying and they need help, all the more so should all of you do it. So we can't command you, but we encourage you in the greatest way to make that a devotion. So we want to see this all bright tonight when the lights are out. Okay? Now, this beautiful epistle of St. James, the lesson is very clear, because St. James had the ability to be very practical in the way he gave his words, his doctrines. He's much easier to understand than St. Paul. And his epistles, you could probably read it in 20 minutes. It's short. You remember our Father Superior many years ago, he told all of you, your assignment is to read the epistle of St. James. So we'd like to reiterate that. Read the epistle. Make it your spiritual reading this week. This epistle is the source of the lessons for matins of the Divine Office. So the priests are reading it and the religious are reading it and chanting it this week, the epistle of St. James. But he tells us in very plain words, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because someone can believe after hearing the word of God, and they can be attracted to it, and they can believe it, even with a natural faith, like the Protestants. But if they're not doers of the word, it's nothing. And it actually can be to a person's condemnation. Because for the Protestants, they don't believe in good works. They deny the doctrine of the faith of our Holy Mother of the Church, that faith without works is dead. And so they don't even regard this epistle as part of the Bible fully. But you know what? I think because they're so afraid of taking books out of the Bible that have been in there since the beginning, they put them in the Bible. Excuse me. They put them in and call them apocryphal or Catholic epistles. Meaning, we'll keep them in here, but they're not the same level as the Gospels. But he says, faith without works is dead. Now, we may ask, if we have received the word of God and believe in it and practice it, aren't we on the way to heaven? Meaning, we go to church, we say our prayers. The way God has set it up, however, is this, that he requires us to be part of the work of salvation. We must regulate our lives. That means we must have rule over what we do and what we say. We're not like the pagans or the people of the world who have no time for God. Because you know what they do? None of us want to fall into the trap of being a slave of the world. They begrudgingly get up in the morning. They clean themselves up. They eat something. They go to work. And they come back after suffering through traffic. And they eat something. Then they watch something on TV or on the internet. Then they go to bed. And during that day, probably committed a lot of sins. And then they just keep doing that over and over again. And God is not part of their lives. They rarely pray. And then, what does God do for people like that? He tries to wake them up by sending a suffering or a disaster. Like all those people in Paradise, California, 14,000 homes burned to the ground. They lost everything. Not just their home and possessions, but their whole town, their school, everything they lost. And so it was a way for these people to realize maybe there's something more important in our lives than just day-to-day living. He says, St. James, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and presently he forgets what kind of man he is." Now, some spiritual writers take the mirror as a symbol of the word of God. That the people read the word of God, they read the Bible, but they don't take it to heart. It doesn't change them. And instead of the Word of God being a way of conversion, it's treated with indifference. It's just another book to read once in a while. Remember, when you're reading the Scripture, reading the Gospels, it's good to pray while in the midst of the verses. Say, "God, help me to understand. Help me to change. Help me to convert to what the Word of God says, not the way I've been living all these years." And our holy gospel for this Mass is these beautiful words of St. John. Reminding us to pray to God the Father. He says, in a very formal way, our Lord says to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you." Now, when you pray, the Holy Spirit is giving you a grace to pray. So already you are on the road to receiving what you need. But sometimes we let something get in the way of our prayers, and you know what it is? It's ourselves. We butt in. Interfere with God's grace. And we start praying for not what God wants us to have, but what we think we should have. But at least we're praying, and so what God does is just take those prayers and make us wait. Alters them. And then maybe days, weeks, months, even years later, the prayer is answered. And we see, oh, that's why that happened. If I had gotten what I thought I should need at that time, it would have been a disaster. And that's why it's good to pray with complete abandonment. Whatever God wants, whatever the difficulty or circumstance or need, totally up to God through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by the help of Saint Joseph and your patron saints and your guardian angel, and then you're all set. Because you don't have to worry about what you need. Just as our Lord said in that parable about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, they are taken care of by God, and how much more are we taken care of by God, because we're far more valuable than the flowers or the birds. So, remember to pray. That's the Catholic way to pray. To receive the Holy Eucharist. To receive the sacrament of penance. We say that often because it is so important to hear it and to be reminded of it, especially now, finally, that summer is beginning. And people, after all the effort and maybe penances during Lent, and then all the joy of Easter, then we start taking it easy and we slack off. No, we've learned all these things. We've gone through the sufferings, the instructions, the direction, the penances, and now we have to use that and not waste it. And the way to do it is ask Our Lady to help us. So that concludes our words for today. And don't forget to light your candle. May God bless you.